But we want to just welcome Brother Ledbetter and his dear wife. His wife's name is Nita. And Brother Craig is over here. Y'all stand up just a moment there, all right? Y'all stand up together. Yeah, there you go. I tried to get some information about him off of his website, and I put that in the bulletin today. And I hope you'll be praying for them. And they're going to be speaking, or he's going to be speaking this morning for the Sunday school class. And then he'll be preaching this morning in the morning service, and then again tonight in the Sunday evening service at 6 o'clock. So I want to encourage you to be here. But today being the 18th of May, 2025, I want to welcome Pastor Ledbetter. And he's going to be speaking to us this morning. All right.
If you will, Acts chapter 20. I'm a missionary in Ireland. I've been there 31 years, and my wife and I are back trying to report to churches we haven't been in a while. Last time I was here was in 2009, so it's been a little while, so I am glad to be with you this morning. In the Conqueror's class, what a great verse. Probably one of the top 25, next to Romans 8:38 is one of the top 25 scriptures you should memorize. But 8:37 is great. We are more than conquerors. But I want to give your attention here to Acts chapter 20, starting down in verse 22. And how many remember the hymn, Come Thou Fount? Come Thou Fount of every blessing, tune my heart to sing thy praise. Now just hold there for a second. Think there's a phrase there that says, the second verse, I believe it is, oh, to grace, how great a, what's the next word? Debtor. And I'm going to talk about, boy, this thing of it says, oh, to grace, how great a debtor, daily I'm constrained. That's my word I was getting to. Daily I'm constrained to be. Now, I'm going to preach on that word constrained this morning. Acts chapter 20, once I get there, in verse 22. And if you, it's a very important word you'll see in a moment. Acts chapter 20 is actually recording one of the greatest chapters in the New Testament about the call of God and about the commitment to the Christian life. And really, it is one of my most favorite chapters in the Bible. And the Apostle Paul had incredible influence on so many, maybe hundreds of thousands of people in their lives throughout his 20 years of ministry. And he wanted to have one final big effect at a big, it was a preacher's conference, kind of, you might call it, a meeting there in Ephesus. And he wanted to say something that would encourage not only them, but would encourage us. Under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, he writes and says these words, Acts chapter 20, in verse 22, starting there. And now, behold, I go, and I want you to circle that word, all right, bound. I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there. Say that the Holy Ghost witnesseth in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide me. Notice the word, I'm bound, and there are bonds coming ahead of me. Verse 24, but none of these things move me. None of these fears, none of these unknowns change my course. None of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry. I want to finish my ministry, which I received of the Lord Jesus. And what is his ministry? To testify the gospel of the grace of God. So he describes being bound in the Spirit, which means gripped, tied to, constrained, wrapped up in, or what's a modern word, obsessed with. I meet a lot of people who are obsessed with a lot of different things today, all right? In Ireland, we're obsessed with the weather. Americans are obsessed with politics, okay? We're all obsessed with something. Paul was obsessed with the ministry and finishing it, all right? So I want to explore this thing of being bound in the Spirit and being constrained in finishing what God started in us. Let's pray. Father, please bless just the word of God. Help it to bless and encourage some folks this morning. Thank you for the privilege of being here. Thank you. I get to serve you again today. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, I've been saved 45 years next month. serving the Lord 31 years in Ireland. It seems that a lot of people in the gospel ministry, they do the gospel ministry where they teach or they preach. They help with starting churches, or they, you know, when they think of the gospel ministry and leaving family and home and going to a foreign country, they'll only do it if it's already what they want to do. They'll do it if it's something they feel like doing. They do it, they'll help out and they'll teach, or they'll work in a Sunday school class. Brother Dave, where are you? Where's the guy who, where are you? He led me through the labyrinth and the catacombs of the church and all the different Sunday school classes. I bet they could use some helper teachers. But people will only do it's something they feel like doing, or if it's something they feel like they can do. And it doesn't, as long as it doesn't cost too much time. So yeah. But yet I read of a young man named Jim Elliot and his call and the price that he paid to fulfill that calling and preaching the gospel to the Ecuadorian Indians at the end of a spear back in 1956 when he died. I read of Adoniram Judson, my favorite missionary, and his call to Burma, is now known as Myanmar, and his commitment to his call through almost 2 years in prison back in the early 1800s. You know, when he was they didn't put him in a modern prison. They put him in a hole in the ground that was about 4 feet underground, had a slit for air, and he was left in there for 2 years. His wife would visit him every week and bring a pillow to him. You know what was in the pillow? Paper and a pen. And in that hole, he was translating the Bible into Burmese in that prison for 2 years. He lost his first wife and several of his kids. I read of his call and his commitment to that call. I read of William Carey, his call to India. I have read of Hudson Taylor and his call to China and their absolute commitments to the will of God. I read of countless others who God called them to leave everyone and everything for the sake of lost souls. Now, what sticks out of their life stories was that they used the same word, that they were bound to that call. They weren't just committed, which sort of expresses my will. Do you understand? If I say I'm committed to a cause, that's my will. But Paul uses the word I'm bound. Even if I wanted to quit, I couldn't. Are you following me? It was his life, Paul says. Now, I would say if you take your Bible, go to the right, go to 2 Corinthians chapter 3, 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 5. I have found that Christians and many Christian workers are struggling. The fun has almost gone out. Now, that's because we're letting news and social media give us our sense of whether the day is worth living. But 2 Corinthians chapter 3 in verse 5, 2 Corinthians 3, 5 says this, not as though we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything as of ourselves. What's Paul saying? I'm not sufficient. I am absolutely at the end of myself every day. You know what my favorite prayer is? Oh, God. I don't even know what to pray sometimes except help. He says, not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything is of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God. Verse 6 says, who also hath made us able ministers of this thing called the New Testament, not of the letter. Anybody can just get up here and speak. Anybody can just quote the Bible, but to minister the Spirit, for the letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life. There has been, in my 45 years of being saved, there have been marvelous times when I just saw the joy of the Lord in God's people. And then there have been other times where you just see them barely scraping and pulling themselves in just to breathe. Now, I understand all the reasons why. I'm just telling you, at no point were we able to smile. We all wanted to quit at different times. Paul didn't feel too much different. As a matter of fact, if you go to chapter 4 and verse 8, listen to his life. This is his testimony. He says, we are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed. You know what that means? He didn't know what to do some days, but not in despair. Oh, persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down. Let's put that in a vernacular. Knocked right off the shelf. Cast down, but not destroyed. You know, the devil wants more than anything to discourage you and discourage me from our purpose in being saved. You know, I was saved not just to go to heaven. I was saved to serve now. I was saved to do something now. When God saved a wretch like me, it was for a purpose. Am I fulfilling that purpose? Am I letting the devil get me so caught up in my circumstances, in my pains, in my troubles, that I no longer am bound to do that will every day? Acts chapter 9, go back to the left a little bit. Acts chapter 9 and verse 6. God had a purpose and a design, a will, for this murderer named Saul of Tarsus. And he had a purpose from the moment he got saved. Now, I have to tell you, when I got saved, I just was happy I was going to heaven. I hadn't a clue what was tomorrow, what was God's will for my life or anything. But I just glad I was saved. I was glad to be in a church that loved God, preached the word. I was glad for all of those things. But then we had a missions conference where 8 different missionaries preached 2 a night, every single night from Sunday to Sunday. We went into church at 6:30. We didn't get out of there till after 10. And I thought it was normal. But by Wednesday night, I felt like a Mack truck had driven over me 4 or 5 times. I came to find out the whole world was lost without hope, without God. I mean, how many people are saved? Yeah, somebody has an estimate, about 250 million people. I say, praise God. I don't know if that's true or not. But that's nothing compared to 8 billion. Now, the point is this. Why were you and I saved? Well, look at Acts chapter 9 and verse 6. He, this is Saul, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? That's a good prayer to pray when you get saved. Amen. What do you want to start with? And the Lord said unto him, first thing, just get up, arise, go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. Now, I like the fact that God didn't just pour it all on him. I'd say, you're going to really suffer, Paul. But he said, now, first step, you're blind. Now, again, if you remember, Paul's been blinded, and the first thing he's going to have to do is not just sit there and wallow in his situation. I mean, he's lost his eyesight. He's been proven absolutely wrong by the risen Jesus Christ speaking to him. He thought that Jesus was dead, and now he's completely ruined. And Jesus says, now get up, and I want you to go into the city, and then I'll tell you what the next step is. You know, God's will, thankfully, God will take you one step at a time. Amen. Now jump down to verse 10. There in chapter 9 and verse 10, it says, and there was a certain disciple of Damascus named Ananias, and to him said the Lord in a vision, Ananias. And believe me, he was surprised, and he said, behold, I am here, Lord. And the Lord said to him, arise and go into the street, which is called Straight, and inquire in the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus, for behold, he prayeth. Now, that name just had the hair stand on the back of Ananias' neck. That's a terrifying name to hear. Verse 12. And he has seen in a vision a man named Ananias coming in. He's already seen you coming in and putting his hand on him that he might receive his sight. Then Ananias answered, Lord, I have heard by many of this man how much evil he hath done to thy saints at Jerusalem. And here he hath authority from the chief priests to bind all that call on thy name. But the Lord said unto him, go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me. Watch this. To bear my name before the Gentiles, which was a strange thing for a Jew to do, and kings, and the children of Israel, for I will show him how great things he must prosper. Is that what he promises? All right, there goes Joel Osteen. You see, the call of God is not always about you being so benefited. As a matter of fact, if you're ever going to serve God, it'll cost you probably everything. That's okay. He says, I will show him how great things. I like how the Lord contrasts 2 great adjectives. Great things he must suffer for my name's sake. So Paul did not know what God's will for him was when he responded, Lord, what do you want me to do? I'm glad he didn't say anything but being a missionary. I'm glad he didn't say that, amen. I've had people say that. He was just committed to God's will. He was bound to it. As a matter of fact, we won't look at it, but Ephesians chapter 4, it says, Paul says, I therefore, the prisoner of, not Rome, but of the Lord. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of that same vocation wherewith you are called. So there's a great song out there written by Trisha Crabtree called Bury My Heart on the Mission Field. A young girl weeps in a far distant land as she has no one to show her God's love. No mother or father to wipe away her tears. She cries out in the night alone. So bury my heart on the mission field, Lord. I'll go to dry that young girl's tears. I'll serve you no matter where the path may lead. Lord, please bury my heart. A mother grieves for her starving child. She has no shelter from the cold. Earthly provisions will ease their suffering, but who will feed their empty souls? So bury my heart on the mission field, Lord. I'll give the gospel to the suffering ones. I'll go wherever you want me to go, Lord. Please, just bury my heart there. Now, back in Acts chapter 20, go back to Acts chapter 20. Let's look at three scriptures where Paul uses this word bound. And I'll finish that song. I wasn't going to sing it for you. She can do much better. Finish that to give you this sense of how committed we ought to be to the Christian life, which is doing the will of God. Acts chapter 20 and verse 22, and then we'll go to Acts chapter 12. Acts chapter 20 and verse 22. We read it, but I want you to see the word again. Acts 20, 22. And now, behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there. Go to Acts chapter 12. Acts chapter 12. You see, Paul uses this word bound. And that's a harsh word. It's not an easygoing word. Acts chapter 12 and verse 6. Peter's been captured. And when Herod would have brought him forth, let's go back to verse 5. Peter therefore was kept in prison. But prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. That's a good thing. But Peter's in prison. And when Herod would have brought him forth, the same night Peter was sleeping between two soldiers, and he was what? That's that word again. He was bound with two chains, and the keepers before the door kept the prison. Now I want you to see, what is Peter doing even though he's bound in those chains? He's sleeping. Now, what's happening tomorrow morning for him? He's going to have his head cut off. And yet, what is he doing? He's sleeping. Now, that's just unusual, okay? Normally, you panic. Normally, you're like, I can't sleep. This is stressful. You know, I've got a major test tomorrow. But he's asleep there. He's surrounded by soldiers. And let's go to now John chapter 18. John 18. Three times where people were perfectly content being bound. John chapter 18 and verse 12. This is Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. Then the band of the captain and the officers of the Jews took Jesus, and what did they do to him? Now, I want you to understand, this is Jesus Christ, God Almighty in the flesh. And he allows them to bind him. He submits his will, doesn't he? He now no longer has the ability to go. He says it to one of his disciples earlier. He says, don't you know I can call 12 legions of angels? But I surrender and I allow myself to be bound. Let's finish that word there. Where was I reading there? Verse 5. To verse 12. Thank you. Then the band of the captain's officers, verse 13, they led him away. Oh, and they bound him. That's my word. And they led him away to Annas first, and he was father-in-law to Caiaphas, which was the high priest in the same year. So they led him away. They took away his freedom, and that's what bound means. Bound means limited, restrained, unable to now do what you want. Now, in every case, Jesus, Peter, and Paul were quite comfortable being bound. All were willing, and now they were servants of the will of God. They knew that this was the will of God. And I'm going to say that discovering and knowing God's will is your greatest challenge. Okay? That is the greatest challenge. Do you know, I'll give you some examples. Guess what the will of God is for you if you're married? All right, Brother Hoffman, you're listening? This is advice, marriage advice for you, all right? You ready? To stay married. That's the will of God, if you're married, to stay married, no matter what. To please your husband or your wife as much as you seek to please the Lord. That is God's will. To put their needs above your own for the rest of your life. That is God's will. Amen. The will of God in marriage is to love that person as much as Christ loves you. So that, folks, let me tell you, that is God's will for every one of us who are married. Amen. That's the will of God. What if you're employed? God says if you are employed, his will is that you serve your employer as if you were working for Jesus Christ himself. Is that God's will? Amen. Tomorrow morning, your boss ought to figure something happened to you yesterday, the way you treat him or her. You are not allowed to complain and murmur like everyone else. You are to be a light and example of what Christ would be if he were doing your job. That's the will of God for somebody who's working for somebody else. If you're saved, you know what the will of God is? For you to be holy. You say, well, I ain't happy. Get over it. Get over it. He did not save you to be happy yet. One of these days, we'll be happy over there. Amen. Honestly, we've lost the plot with modern music. Modern music knows nothing of joy. Honestly, every Christian for the last 2,000 years, up to the last 80 years or so, suffered and struggled and wept and murmured under their breath, doing the will of God, struggling through, knowing they're going to rejoice one day. We don't have to have all the fun, all the happiness now. But God called us to be holy. God called us to be godly. God called us to be Christ-like all the time, to be gospel witnesses wherever we are, to go and go and go. That's God's will. Now, what did it mean for Paul to be doing the will of God? You ready? The will of God, whatever it was Paul's purpose for being saved. Go back to Acts chapter 9 and verse 15. Acts 9 and verse 15. I'm going to say the will of God is why God saved you. Acts chapter 9 and verse 15. We read this, but the Lord said unto Ananias and said, go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me. You go to the grocery store, what do? Now, if you're a guy, you know what you do. Your wife sends you to go get some apples. You just start grabbing them, putting them in the bag, right? That's what we do. But a woman goes in there and she's choosy. Yes. Well, when God chooses us, not for salvation. No. Saul's now saved. And Jesus says, I have chosen this one, now that he's saved, for a special purpose. Are you understanding this thing? You know, God saves the soul not just for our benefit, doesn't save us just for our benefit, but to be part of his work. Second thing, do you know doing the will of God was Paul's pleasure? I don't know if you understand this. Acts chapter 20, verse 24. Actually, we went back and forth. That's fun. Acts chapter 20, verse 24. But none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear, Acts 20, 24, unto myself, so that I might finish my course. He doesn't stop there, does he? No. He says, I want to finish it with joy. Do you think he was enjoying the Christian life so far? And he says, you know, I really believe most people are miserable. Now look at me and frown like you normally do. Scowl. If you're not enjoying the Christian life, now there are going to be times where you're weeping, where you're broken, where you're defeated. I understand that. But overall, shouldn't there be joy in the Christian life? And that joy is found in the middle of God's will. You tell me whether the prodigal son had joy for a little bit of time, had some happiness for a little bit of time, but then for the rest of his next year or however long it took before he hit rock bottom, he had nothing. It was a wasted life. And he finally realized, you know what? There's something back at home. And you know when he got home? His brother got all upset because there was joy in the father's house again. Because he was back where he should be. So doing the will of God was Paul's pleasure. You know, I enjoy being saved. I tell people all the time, I wish I was Pentecostal. So I could get saved again and again and again. That's the only reason why. Honestly, I love being saved. I love being a servant of the holy God who saved me and gave himself for me. You sang that song. Wasn't that a wonderful song? The last part there, it's in Romans 8:37. It says, come on, quote it with me. Nay, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. I just love that, man. I mean, my favorite part, Galatians 2:20 says, why is my brain not working this morning? Anyway, we are crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live by the faith of the Son of God, I live by the faith of the Son of God. And here's the best part. Who loved me and gave himself for me. That's the best part. Woo-hoo. Amen. I love that. There is pleasure in being in the will of God, knowing the love of God, enjoying the presence of God. There's just something about it. But let me say, this: the will of God was not something he chose to do every day. It was his push. It was his pull every day. Look at verse 22, still in Acts chapter 20, verse 22. Paul says, "Now behold, I go bound in the Spirit. I'm no longer free to not do this. I go into Jerusalem," and they eat Christians for breakfast. "Go into Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there, save that the Holy Ghost witnesses everywhere I go in every city, saying that only bonds and afflictions abide me." And Paul's actually saying, I'm already bound. I'm already in this thing. I can't quit. It's my push. That's why he goes on and he says, I neither count I my life dear, and no, verse 24, but none of these things move me. Neither count I my life dear to myself, so that I might finish. There's a pull. And listen, I'm 62 years old. I hate admitting it. But, you know, the older you get, there's a bigger pull toward heaven, isn't there? There's this thing of you look and you go, this world is not my home. Now, I sang that with joy when I was 17 years old when I got saved. But I love it more now. Bible says, I just want to finish my course with joy and the ministry. You know what ministry means? The service. The bottom. Whatever God asks me to do. Because it's my pleasure. It's my pull. It drove him from Troas across the Aegean Sea just to find one guy, the Macedonian man. And he found him, the Philippian jailer. Isn't that awesome? He didn't find him out in the markets where it was easy to win souls. He had to go into a prison so he could meet the Macedonian man who was a jailer. That was who was crying out, come over and help me. The accomplishing of the will of God was Paul's prize. Just, let me tell you, what does God want me to be? Faithful. That's all he wants. And as I arrive at a state where I just keep going, where I just stay faithful, that is the prize. Because what does Jesus reward me for? Not for the money I bring to heaven. He doesn't need it. Not for all the monuments I can build. No, no, no. He says, well done, thou good and faithful servant. So this was Paul's prize, was to be faithful in whatever God called him to do. Paul says in Philippians 3, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling. The prize of the calling. Whatever God asks me to do, the prize is fulfilling my call, whatever it may be. Doing God's will for Paul was also protection. Go back to Acts chapter 14. I'm going to show you something funny. You may not like this point, but doing God's will be your protection. And I'm going to say this, that does not mean that God's going to protect you from pain in the will of God. Because I'm going to show you some pain here. Look at Acts chapter 14, verse 19. And there came thither certain Jews from Antioch and Iconium who persuaded the people and having, what's the next word? Ouch. And having stoned Paul, they drew him, dragged him out of the city, supposing he'd been dead. I mean, he hurt. He's lifeless. Now, is he in the middle of God's will? Yes. Is he doing what God called him to do? Yes. But look at the next verse. I got to find out where I am. Verse 20. Howbeit, as the disciples stood about him, now you got to see, these must have been Americans. Is he dead? Do you think he's... I don't see him moving. Check and see if he's breathing. I mean, they're all just standing over him. And verse 20 says, howbeit his disciples stood round about him, he rose up. And he came into the same city that just stoned him. And the next day he departed with Barnabas to Derbe. I'm just going to tell you, he was in the safest place you could be. They couldn't kill him. Amen. So you're not going to be saved from pain. Let me just tell you, Pastor, I couldn't be a missionary. My pain tolerance is very low. Don't talk to me. What God asks you to do, he will enable you. I can do all things through Christ is not a free check for you to do whatever you want. I can do all things that God asks me to do is what the verse means. So even though somebody may try to kill you and even think they did, if you're doing the will of God, it probably will be okay. Amen? The will of God was perfect for him, even though it wasn't what he chose. See, if I choose my holiday plans, my vacation plans, I think this is going to be perfect, that's my will. So I usually apply that to the will of God. Oh, I want to be happy. I want to be successful. I want to be, you know, blessed. I want to eat well. Da-da. And God says, we're going to learn what monkey meat is. We're going to go where there are roaches as big as rats. You know, people who are on mission fields right now are having to struggle with some things you can't even dream of. And let me just tell you this. It's perfect for them because it's God's will. See, why would God allow this? Ask Job. And you know what God's answer to Job was? I ain't telling you. My ways are not your ways. So just trust me, Jesus says. So let me finish this. Let me read the last part of the song by Tricia Crabtree. Bury my heart on the mission field, Lord. These distant voices won't go away. I'll do your will, whatever the cost, Lord. Please bury my heart. I will do your will, no matter the cost. Lord, just please bury my heart. One big thing to take away from Paul's life example is that we need to become bound in our spirits once again to whatever God's will is. And ask God, God, I don't even know what your will is. Now, when I got saved, I didn't know what the will of God was. I was saved an atheist. So I had started, this is how I started with the Bible, upside down. Man, I don't know which way to go. I don't know where to begin. And you know, the guys who get saved in Ireland, guess where they start reading their Bible? Genesis. And they're going, it's crazy, it's going crazy. So that's how I started off. I had no idea what was next for me. But was it or is it not the right way to say, Lord, whatever it is, I know it'll be perfect. I know the prize will be in just doing it. I know the protection that will be there as I do it. I'm just here to tell you, I'm looking for people. Missionaries look for more missionaries. I look for people, no matter how old you are. Let me tell you, Moses was 80 when he started to serve God. Whatever God's will is, would you just say, Lord, whatever you want me to do, evidently it'll be awesome. And from this day forward, I want to do it. Lord, please bless the thoughts to these people. Encourage them. Thank you for, you chose Paul to be an example even for the 21st century. I pray that you'd use him in his life example to change us. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. Praise the Lord.
You give it this mic. And my own. All right. I won't touch it. You know what? He said something here today. I remember when I got saved. I was 15 and a half years of age. Had my own plans. Gone to join the Air Force. And they told me I couldn't join. I was a year too young to take that ASVAB test without my parents' signature. And I said, well, they won't sign. What do I do? He said, come back next year and you can get it without their signature. I said, I'll be back. But in that year, God began to deal with my heart. Amen. I never will forget reading this passage of Scripture from Acts chapter number 9, where God told Ananias, he said, I want you to go and see this man named Paul, or Saul. And I said, Lord, I've heard about him. He's not a good guy. And God said right here, he said, you go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me. Chosen by God. And what was the job that God chose him to do? He said, to bear my name. And folks, that's what each of us are to do. We've been saved. God saves whosoever will come unto him. God is willing to save. But you know what he's looking for? He's looking for some folks that's sitting on the side wondering what God's got in plan for them. And for 3 days, Saul sits there blind and wondering, what is God going to do to me? I've killed his people. I've mocked his name. I've done all these wicked things. What will God do unto me? And God chooses him to bear his name. And folks, that's what God has chosen you and me to do today. And you know what God has done? He has made us to be more than conquerors. Not in our own power, but through him that loved us. He gave himself for us so that we might do what God said do. And my challenge to you today would be, let's go and do what God has called us. He has saved us. He has chosen us to do something great for him. Let's go do it. Amen. Amen. Let's pray and we'll be dismissed. Father, Lord, I love you today. Lord, I could have no better birthday present, God, than to be reminded of where you brought me from. And God, what you've done for me. And how that you called, you chose me to be a vessel for your honor and for your glory. And Lord, here I stand, right in the middle of your will, just as happy as could be. Lord, I pray, God, that there are folks in this class today that are looking for your will and searching to know, God, what you would have them to do for you. Speak to their heart today. Use the word of God to speak to their hearts. Help us now, Lord, to just be willing to do what you would have us to do. Because of your goodness and your grace and your mercy that's been given unto us. Help us, Lord, to be those chosen vessels that would be willing to go out and bear your name before the Gentiles as well as the Jews. And Father, we'll thank you, God, for what you do. Bless our dear brother as he preaches to us here in just a few moments. I pray, dear God, that you'll help our hearts to be receptive to that preaching today. And we'll thank you, God, for what you do. We love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you for being here today. Get you a piece of cake before you go, okay? Amen. We love you.